Bashir Business. I'm Ibn Hamdan.
And I'm Farah Bashir, joining Ibn Hamdan.
Today we're going to talk about the influencer who is being totally dragged through the mud on social media, and also by having legal action taken against her because she slammed Dubai and the UAE during the floods. We'll talk about that more in detail. And then ADQ has acquired a 49% stake in a plenary group. Jeddah's King Abdulaziz Airport has ranked the first in March with over 15 million passengers annually. Dubai's RTA has helped with 5 million with global buses and disability support. Spinneys has kicked off its Dubai IPO. Exciting news on the markets. It's hoping to raise $375 million. A future-obsessed Dubai entrepreneur who wants to freeze her body. Up next. Interesting topics today.
A lot of interesting topics, honestly. I'm really, really looking forward to actually talking about them.
Yeah, same. Same. How has your morning been, Farah?
Actually, my morning has been really chill. You know, the roads are not as traffic as they used to be, which just like shows me that Dubai actually has picked up really quickly and has gone back on track, which is, by the way, what we spoke as well about, like, on the show. You know, I mean, shout out to Dubai, the UAE all in whole, you know, for like getting back on track, and they got back on track in like 3 days. Yeah. Yes, maybe not fully, but I can confirm from a resident point of view, that it is.
Sorry, I lost you there for a minute because I just noticed on my laptop that it's still Thursday and that it's not Friday yet. And that was very, very heartbreaking for me.
So one more day.
Speaking of Dubai, Elon Musk just tweeted that Dubai is great. Just randomly, he loves to do that stuff. we love to see it from Elon Musk. Elon Habibi, come to Dubai.
Let's do it. Comes to Dubai, we should have like the meme.
I felt that was like, very cringe of me.
I think Gen Z would approve.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, me trying to speak like Gen Z is like a guy in his 50s buying a Ferrari.
Oh my God, no.
Middle age crisis kind of stuff.
It's okay. It's okay. You can
You know who you Gen are, guys. You know who you are. I went to Psycho Bunny's event last night. And it was interesting stuff. We spoke to the CEO of MAF Lifestyle. Apparently, so Psycho Bunny is this really cool brand, lots of colors. It's a picture of a rabbit with a skull, a little bit psycho, a little bit cute. Cute but psycho. I think there's a song that
there
goes
is a
like
song,
that.
Sweet but psycho.
Sweet but psycho.
Sweet but psycho. I mean, this is the best combination, no?
It's the men that make us psycho. So
that is true. No, I agree with you. Oh yes. Good on you for saying that and pointing that out.
Yeah. Interestingly, the event was in Playa in West Beach, and it's part of the club, in West Beach, and it's. It's just such an incredible area, that area. So many restaurants. And I remember when West Beach first launched, it was like a total ghost town. Yeah. There was only Coco Bay. And now it's, you know, parties at Surf Club. True. Someone told me the other day that nobody enters Surf Club and goes out sober.
That's true, actually. No, that
nobody.
I mean, honestly, I just like, you know, like we live in the UAE. And UAE is all about expansion. So, like, if you see, and I say this to my family all the time, is that the empty areas that they go, like, oh my God, this is so empty. It is probably not going to be as empty in a few years from now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the Palm, they have really, by the way, like, you know, opened a lot of, like, places and from, like, restaurants to clubs. And it's just, I would say, like, a place everyone goes to. And if you guys are, like right now, you know, like the weather is, there's a bit of breeze that's there, just go ahead, why not?
Let's enjoy it while it lasts. That's someone who may never be able to enjoy the Palm again is Sousan Al-Qadi. So, Yeah, Sawsan Al-Qadi is basically a fashion influencer. She's the talk of the town right now. She's been summoned to court in Saudi Arabia. The UAE has also taken legal action against her for bad-mouthing the Emirates. After she was stuck in the airport, she was stuck in Dubai airport, as were many, many people as well during the floods. And she completely bashed the UAE. She put out a video showing the people waiting in line at Dubai airport, showing that there is trash kind of on the floor, which is obviously not the norm for Dubai airport. I think it's literally the cleanest airport in the world. Anyway, she posts the video and she says in the video, in Arabic, but I'll translate, "Look at the situation. I swear to God, it's total chaos. Nobody is responding, nothing. Look at the dirt, it's disgusting. I was okay a few hours ago, now I'm not okay. The situation is not normal." You're definitely not better now, Sawsan, after posting that. Users on social media were angry, to say the least, and they said she was wrong to defame the UAE, and she has gotten what she deserved by having legal action taken against her. That was coming from a lot of Saudis, by the way. So the Saudis really came to the UAE's defense and said it's not acceptable to defame the UAE. But also she defamed Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. But we'll get to that. What she said about the UAE, she said, in leaked Snapchat conversations, she said, "You have failed in managing disasters. What would you do if you had a war in the UAE?" And she said, "Own it. We took responsibility in Saudi Arabia. We have a war south of Saudi." She said, "I didn't see any government entity helping out during the floods in the airport. I used to think the UAE was on top of everything, but today it disappointed me." She added, referring to being stuck in Dubai airport for 17 hours. "I didn't see any police car or ambulance helping out," she said. So users on social media are calling for her to be banned from entering the UAE and for brands to cut ties with her, which a lot of brands have, including Unas, reportedly put out a statement saying, "At Unas, we take pride in our deep connection to the values of our remarkable region, which we celebrate, which celebrate our collective identity. Driven by our community, we have taken the necessary action of suspending contracts with those who do not honor our principles. Let's protect our shared values together."
Actually, funny thing is that we spoke about this on the 11 show as well this morning. Because
mm-hmm. you got the story from us.
Yes, we got the story from...
Didn't show.
I mean, we do inspire each other. We do. We're a team. So
stealing. Stealing is what it was.
No. I mean...
Daylight robbery. Okay.
It's fine. So I actually think, we were talking about it, Casey and I, and we said that social media is, I would say, a platform that can either do good or do bad. And everyone can be a journalist, right?
No.
So, I mean, it's not, I'm not saying like everyone can be, you know what I mean? But like everyone, like on social media, like I could just like post or like they do not know journalism at
all. I'm just messing with you. You're absolutely right about that point. Absolutely right, yes. Not everyone can be a journalist, but everyone has access to those platforms to, absolutely. Yeah, and thank you to those people who leaked those conversations and...
That is true.
You know, they, definitely. Sorry, exactly. Go ahead, Farah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So with that, is that, like everyone has an opinion and everyone feels entitled, and that is of course all due to social media.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people do not, or let me say, underestimate the power of the things that they say on social media.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
And she is an influencer and she has a lot of followers. And maybe in the heat of the moment she has said all of those things, but maybe if she had come to Dubai or the UAE earlier, this wouldn't have been said.
I mean, she is a regular here in Dubai.
Yeah.
She's always here. Mm-hmm. But, some people are just very entitled, as you said. A lot of people are calling her a spoiled brat also. What she was saying in the airport is that they're not giving us, because she's Saudi, so I think she thought she's better than all those other people waiting for their flights. They're not giving us any attention. They're not giving us, they're not helping us. But really, they were just trying to help everyone. And you know what? A day I mean, this woman goes to London, I'm sure, and this looks like London Heathrow, honestly, on a regular day.
It does.
I mean, so yeah, what she did was absolutely ridiculous. And I do think that influencers get away with so much stuff that they say online that journalists have to be very careful.
That is true.
Not to say this and not to say that. And, you know, you could get fired for saying 1, 2, 3, but with the influencers, there needs to be, I think, more regulation for them.
I think, honestly, because as a journalist, you have credibility. And people would trust a journalist more than an influencer. But because she's an influencer, she actually, you know, will influence a lot of people with what she says.
Yeah.
And therefore, a lot of influencers, you know, like, they just, like, say the things and they do not really think much about it. Mm. You know, and...
Do they think at all?
I mean, maybe, I don't know.
I mean, some of these fashionistas are
they just like
make my brain cells want to commit suicide. Right. So moving on, moving away from influencers, ADQ has acquired a 49% stake in Plenary Group. I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, but it's okay. Expanding global infrastructure ventures. It's an Australian infrastructure developer, basically. ADQ is listed on the ADX, obviously, and is set to acquire the stake, including shares currently held by the Canadian Pension Fund. The deal aims to accelerate infrastructure expansion globally, with ADQ injecting capital to support growth ambitions across various markets. Always active, ADQ. According to Hamad Al-Hamadi, Deputy Group CEO of ADQ, this collaboration, marking our inaugural venture in Australia, underscores ADQ's commitment to developing partnerships that complement our investment strategy, which aims to create long-term value and generate sustainable financial returns, he told Gulf News. A co-investment platform will focus on opportunities in public and social infrastructure, particularly in the GCC, the Middle East, and Central Asia. The Australian group, with a $25 billion asset portfolio across Australia and the Middle East, anticipates significant development opportunities through the partnership. So it's great to see.
It is, honestly, and I feel like these partnerships they all have one motive, which is to have, like, economic growth for the region and for the countries that are actually involved in the partnership.
Yeah.
Which just, like, shows, you know what I mean, like, the GCC in whole and the UAE specifically is just, like, looking towards more growth, and I can just, like, never have enough, which is, I would say it's a very smart move.
Yeah, absolutely. ADQ sees this collaboration as a strategic move, as you said, to drive economic growth and development both domestically and abroad. The UAE has been doing a lot of that, really, really expanding their horizons. I mean, almost everywhere now you go and you see, you know, either Qatar owns this hotel in Egypt or the UAE owns this land in Egypt or has an incredible mall in Istanbul or an arms factory, don't quote me on that, in Serbia. Amar doing stuff in Albania, if I'm not mistaken. So loads and loads and loads of things going on. So it's pretty... pretty amazing to see. Going to Saudi, a little friendly competition going on between the UAE and Saudi. Jeddah's King Abdulaziz Airport has ranked the first in March for airports with over 15 million passengers annually. That's according to a monthly report from the General Authority of Civil Aviation. It's retained its position as the leading airport among those serving 15 million or more passengers annually. King Khalid International Airport in Riyadh secured the second spot. The Aviation Regulatory Authority assesses airports based on 14 key metrics that gauge the passenger experience. These metrics include various aspects such as flight delays, check-in, security, passport and custom control, the availability of airport facilities and services for individuals with limited mobility. So yeah, have you been to Jeddah?
I actually haven't. I really would love to go to Saudi, which is just by the way, the fact that I'm saying that, the fact that a lot of people are actually saying that, just like shows how Saudi has gone a long way.
Sorry, this report is based only in Saudi, by the way, because that wasn't clear. Yeah,
go ahead. Yeah, wasn't mentioned. Yeah, of course. Don't worry about that. So, exactly. No, I've not been.
Sounds like it topped the world's airports.
Yeah, I mean, you never
just
know.
Just in Saudi,
Just in Saudi, but, you know, like, again, like...
ahead of Riyadh, though. Ahead of Riyadh,
exactly.
So that's...
You know, because, like, I have always wanted to go to Saudi, to be honest with you.
Oh, you haven't been?
I haven't been there. But I've... Yeah. The fact that I have been thinking in my head, like, oh, I would want to go, just gets, you know, the subconscious thought, like, okay, so this just, like, shows and proves a lot that Saudi has gone a long way from what it has been to what it will be. And I think, honestly, like, this report regarding the airport does not come out of the blue. It comes out of a lot of, you know, strategic things and studies that has been done for the airport to be handled in a certain way, which I think as well, you know, like, it's very cool.
Yeah.
I would love to actually and go and experience this, you know, one-on-one.
Yeah. Would have been interesting for you to go before and then see the change after. But you know what? I remember I went to Riyadh a couple of years ago for an event with the UN and another publication I used to work for. But it was interesting because we got into we took an Uber and it was a Saudi guy driving, and he just had everything from chocolates to, you know, to water to soft drinks. He kept asking us what music we'd like to listen to, and he was just so excited to see foreigners, to see expats, sorry, you know, coming into Saudi. It was just kind of starting that year. I think it was late 2018, 2019, something like that. So yeah, it was great. Dubai's RTA, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. They've really played a significant role in community development, obviously, and social good initiatives as well. Last year, they reached over 5.2 million beneficiaries, both within and outside the UAE. The achievement reflects their commitment obviously to stick to values like tolerance, teamwork, and leadership. Great to see. Rashid Abdelkarim Al-Mulla, Director of Marketing and Corporate Communications for RTA, highlighted several noteworthy initiatives. Exciting to see RTA doing stuff like this.
Agreed.
These include the 1 billion meals endowment campaign, the largest of RTA's global charitable endeavors, which provided aid to 5 million individuals. Additionally, another initiative, Kiswat Khair, supported 60,000 people in need, while the Modes of Good program served 40,000 beneficiaries. RTA's Ramadan initiative also reached over 100,000 people through various programs like the Ramadan Tent project. It's also providing school buses to students in Tanzania, Thailand, and Uganda, impacting over 23,000 students. What a lovely positive story. People don't like positive stories as much. Richard is always telling me to do positive stories. Richard, isn't that why a lot of publications shut down because of?
No.
I remember there was. I forgot what it was called. But there was a publication launched here, I believe, and something else in the UK, totally focused on positive news, and they shut down because no one was interested.
Look, people love the drama, but at this point, you know, like, people love the drama, right? And they just, like, you know, like, they're going to be like, yeah, what about, it's a lot of good things, it's a lot of positivity, give us the tea, as we say in our Gen Z slang.
Yeah.
But one thing is that, you know what? We do talk about tea. So we do have some tea. Like, for example, we talked about the Saudi influencer who got, you know, like, into a lot of drama and a lot of trouble for speaking of Dubai. But I think this is a very important story because, like, RTA, you know, you people might think it's just like another, like, public transportation you know, authority in the country, in the region, you know, that just, like, allows you to transport from one place to another. but it has done a lot of good, mm-hmm. even for the flood. I mean, mm-hmm. for the floods that has happened in the UAE, it is, you know, like we talked about this on the Love in Dubai show, mm-hmm. there, if you have insurance, there is a way that you, that the UAE is actually going to help you regarding if your car got, you know, affected, if your house has got affected, you know, and as well, don't forget the amount of money that is being put to the people who actually are victims of the flood and so on. And the fact that the RTA has always like shown out or stood in solidarity with, you know, a lot of things, whether it's the people of Gaza and floods and this and that and so on, which is, it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Spinneys has kicked off its IPO in Dubai to raise $375 million. Exciting stuff. Spinneys was, we'll talk about the story of Spinneys another day, but check it out. It's interesting. It was actually launched initially in Egypt by a British, I think I believe he was a military military man. He was a sergeant. I forget the exact title. And then it moved on to a family, and it moved on to Dubai. So the ownership changed, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in detail. I do want to get you guys accurate information. I want to get you the information that's not out there that you can't find online. So I'm going to look into that. But the stories, the story of Spinneys is fascinating. Anyway, Sheikh Rashid apparently was the first customer in the Dubai branch, apparently. So yeah. Right. On Tuesday, the franchisee of Spinneys, a supermarket chain in the UAE and Oman, announced plans to raise up to raise up to $375 million by selling a 25% stake through an IPO. The indicative price range was set between 1.42 dirhams and 1.53 dirhams, implying a market cap of between $1.39 to $1.5 billion. That's between 5.11 to 5.51 billion dirhams. So I hope that's correct, because sometimes we make mistakes on those conversions. We need to look out for that. Spinneys 1961 holding will offer 900 million shares, or 25% of its issued share capital, on the DFM, the Dubai Financial Market. Exciting stuff for the DFM and Abu Dhabi Exchange as well. Spinneys plans to open its first store in Saudi in the first half of this year. It said in its intention to float. It aims to open another three by the end of the year, and at least four new stores in the kingdom every year for the next 5 to 10 years, CEO Sunil Kumar told Bloomberg.
That is a very good move, I would say. Yeah. Saudi.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. We are running a little bit short on time, so I'm going to move on to the next story. A Dubai entrepreneur is thinking about freezing her body in the U.S. That's Briar Prestige. I don't know how to pronounce her. It's written like prestige, but with a D.
Yeah.
So sorry, Briar, but you guys mispronounce her names all the time in Arabic, so it's fine. she's the CEO of her own PR company based on her last name. She's dabbled in everything from injecting herself with a microchip that allows her to unlock her house and car to producing a 48 hours in the metaverse documentary. Next up for her is apparently freezing her body. She met with James R. Woods, the co-CEO and president of Alcor Life Extension Foundation in Arizona, to decide whether or not to sign up to a cryogenically freeze my body or brain in the hopes I will be resurrected in the future, she said. There are over 200 preserved bodies in metal canisters with this company based in Arizona. She said, it's a surreal thought. It's a deeply personal decision that reflects a person's beliefs, hopes, fears, and attitudes towards mortality and the possibility of life after death.
I mean, people have been obsessed with living forever, looking young forever.
Yeah.
Which is why a lot of supplements, like, oh yeah, take this, it will make you stronger, it will, I don't know, repair your DNA, you know, and it's all over TikTok. I see it all the time. It's like, there's recently one that it's called NMN.
I mean, what is that? A supplement?
It's supposed to, it's a supplement.
Okay.
That it's supposed to, I don't know, like, rejuvenate your DNA.
Okay. Okay.
Make you look younger. Make you live longer.
Rejuvenate.
Which is like,
rejuvenate.
How is that possible? Like, you know, like we are going against nature and the cycle of life. Like, just like stop.
Yeah. I wish there was something to rejuvenate my will to live. I wish there was a pill for that at this moment. Right. Actually, for Briar, she said, signing up is an adventure. It's exciting. And even if it doesn't work, I'll be happy to contribute my body to scientific exploration. So, you know what? I respect that. A lot of people who are obsessed with the future, like the guy who wore the shirt, the T-shirt, Do Not Die, at the Token 2049. Just do not die. Reminds me of Charlie of when Charlie Sheen was high as a kite during an interview. And said the same line, do not die. So maybe his role model is Charlie Sheen. Anyway, she said yeah, it's it could be used for scientific exploration. So who knows?
I mean, yeah, you could never know, but that is very scary. I would not want to live forever, so.
Yeah. Technically technically you can go and see that in Moscow. You can go see Lenin's body is preserved. It's not frozen, but it is preserved next to the right opposite the in the Red Square, basically.
Yeah, but then what happens like when they get back?
Well he won't, he's dead. But
yeah, he's dead. Like, I don't know, guys, this is very too scary for me. It's like, ugh, I don't want to live forever. It would be scary for me.
I think in Lenin's case, you know, when you go to Moscow, and maybe this is interesting for people to know, there are lines and lines and queues. People still love to go and see Lenin just because he was such a legendary figure. The USSR obviously lost it towards the end, but he's a legend. Yeah. Anyways, right. We're wrapping up for today. Forgot to mention in the beginning, this is Thursday, the 25th of April. But we'll be mentioning it every day, so it's just so you guys are aware of the day. It helps with the news. You guys know the drill. We'll see you tomorrow, smashy.tv, for the video version, to see me being extra grumpy today, and to see Farah being lovely.
Thank you.
Or listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. See you tomorrow.